plenty of you will know that I'm a big fan of The Apprentice. I think it's one of the best TV shows on at this time of year. And of course, it continues tonight. But the guy sitting in front of me right now was on the show until last week when he sadly got fired. However, when I heard that he was involved, so I saw the list of candidates before the series started, I looked down the list and there was a guy from the Wirral on it. And then I looked a bit closer and my hometown's Heswell and he's a Heswell boy as well. So I had to get him on the show and he decided that he'd like to come in and have a look around the tower as well. Good afternoon, Alex Finn.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you on. Your first time up the tower as well. So looking at the views of Merseyside.
Very chilly, but a very nice view indeed.
Tell us about The Apprentice then. First of all, the process of actually getting on The Apprentice must be tough.
That was probably one of the most brutal application processes I've ever been on in my life. I mean, it's you think it's going to be, you know, a very short day. You'll be in, you'll be out. It's lo and behold, from that, it's unbelievably tricky. You've got different stages where, obviously, I can't reveal too much, but you are really pressed, not on your business knowledge, really, but on your character, how strong you are, you know, how far you're willing to go. And I think most people at this point would bottle it, but you just got to keep pushing on. And if you make it to the end of the day, well, you've still got a few more days worth of interviews left, probably down in London. And it was, honestly, mentally, it was the most straining thing I've ever done in my life, but definitely worth it.
The cynic of inside me looks at the programme and looks at some of the people on it and you think, you're definitely only on it because of your personality as opposed to what you're actually offering in this process so far.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few characters there every year. And I think straight away people go, are they really there for business or are they there to build a profile? But I mean, you know, there's a range of different people there and there's definitely a few strong business candidates this year.
You're only 21, so... Was it always just a major ambition to be on The Apprentice?
You see, it's one of those things, really. I'm obsessed with The Apprentice. I've watched it every single year, as far back as I can remember. And I used to watch it and literally sit there with my mum, screaming at the screen, going, I can't believe they're such idiots. Why can't they do something so basic as that? And then in reality, you know, it's got to be a challenge. So you can't just whip out your phone and check the internet or check Google, or, you know, as I call myself, Google. You can't do those things. You have to use your initiative. And it is really a lot harder than it looks.
How exciting was it when you got the okay then and you were going in?
Honestly, I was over the moon. I remember getting the call. I was employed at the time at Bank of America and I was on a call. I quickly had to pass over to someone else, ran out the room and got offered the position really. And I didn't really know what to do. It was a really weird experience, but I accepted it straight away. And then about 10 seconds later, kind of hit me that I'm going to have to quit my job. So, and then you start debating, am I doing the right thing, am I not? But it was obviously the right decision for me.
So you obviously already had your business plan and everything in place before this?
Yeah, I did. I've always been quite keen on drones, so I'd written up a quite good, well, I'd say a very good business plan. It still stands waiting for investment. But I wrote up this business plan. I thought that'll be perfect for the show. And I kind of took it from there.
I remember, so last week I was watching You're Fired, and you got an absolute grilling from Rod Gilbert and from Claude Littner on there as well.
I think everyone grilled me apart from the comedian.
But you very, very briefly touched on your business plan there. So have you been able to take that any further since the show?
Yes, so it's sort of quite complicated to explain. Since I've left the show, I've obviously set up a drone business. So, well, it's not just a drone business. What we also do, we offer ground filming work as well as the drones. And this is across the UK. So, I mean, for example, inspections, surveying, maybe promotional videos, adverts. We can do all of that. And that's obviously, you know, quite drone related. But what we're also trying to do is trying to set up a business plan at the moment relating to the drones. So I'm just trying to find investment, really. So, you know, if there's anyone out there interested in drones or investing in me, feel free to drop me a message.
It's Radio City Talk. You're listening to Full Time, and I've got Alex Finn in the studio who was part of this year's Apprentice. I don't think we're giving away too many secrets to say that this was clearly filmed a long, long time ago and they just kind of stretch it out over episodes, over weeks. So how long ago were you actually involved in The Apprentice?
Well, I can say that it's a few months ago and it was during a very famous heatwave that we all had. So, I mean, being in London in 27 degrees in a three-piece suit, running around London, it is pretty intense.
The tasks that we saw you involved with, there was the trip to Malta, which is my personal favourite task because it's like basically a treasure hunt going around and trying to find all the things that you need and looking at the list and going, I have no idea what this is and I'm not allowed to use my phone to find out either.
Yeah, I think that sort of reinforced the fact how hard these tasks can be. When you're rushed, you've got 9 items, you've got to send teams out and you're looking at a page that says a 40-inch octopus. I think a lot of people would be lying if they say they knew what that was. So to come home with a 40-inch octopus, well... I thought it was a bit silly, like, but what else do we expect?
Is that the first? Well, obviously not the first time you've met your teammates and the people that you were effectively going to be up against.
Yeah,
but you can't have known them that long at this point.
No, we'd literally met 2 days before, so you're in the boardroom and you're flown out to Malta, you've got a day's sleep, and then you're straight on the task. So you really are thrown at the deep end with people you don't know. And I think there's an episode slightly later on, I think it's the comic book episode, where I think Curran forgets Frank's name.
Yes.
As you can see, it's so early on in the process that people are still getting to know each other, and you are literally thrown in a room presenting this idea which you just came up with. So it can be quite intense.
I've got to mention what happened in Malta at the checkout, where you got your 1 cent off your two bottles of wine.
I knew this was coming somewhere. You see, so the idea is any items you didn't get, you'd get a fine for bigger than the value of the item. So it was 5 minutes towards the end of the day, and I thought, hang on, run to the supermarket there. This is our last opportunity to get a wine, which was like the second highest value item. So I thought, let's go in there. We can't barter in a supermarket. We went into Tesco and asked for 5p off. They'd kick you out, or they'd laugh at you. So I thought, we'll go in there, get the only two bottles. That's all they had, and got a cent off. So I thought it was a really good idea, because we reduced the fine, and we got two of the items, and we did comply with the rule of getting a discount.
Absolutely. Well, I always think that this is slightly flawed, this particular ruling, because there was one last series, I don't know if you remember it, where I think it was the girls' team came back about an hour after the boys, but they'd got three extra items within that hour lateness. But because they'd got the items, they weren't fined as much for having them as they were for being late, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think the girls took a risk this year in Malta as well, because they came back quite late. But then again, they came back minus a few items. So they did lose a task on that. But if they had came back with a few more, potentially they might have won, because they came back quite late.
What was it like when you did win the task and you're like, oh, done it?
It is absolutely brilliant. The next question in your mind is, what's the treat? So we got home after, you know, dealing with octopuses, being talked about octopuses all day by Lord Sugar, and there was a plate full of raw octopus, well, you know, a Maltese cuisine. So it wasn't the best treat, but they do get better.
Poor Curran last week. He got to box with David Hay, except he's done his shoulder in.
I know. Well, I was there to witness the famous arm break by the macho man Daniel himself. So he broke his arm, and literally that night went straight to hospital, and then the trooper was in the boardroom the next morning. And luckily he didn't get fired, but yeah, unfortunately missed out on next week's treat.
Obviously, I can't ask you who won, because you wouldn't be allowed to give that away, but there are some strong candidates on there, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. I've got my eye on a few people. I think there's definitely a few candidates. I think Daniel's definitely one to watch out for. He's a bit of a dark horse. Every single one I've seen him on so far, or I've been a part of, he's got great business acumen. He always finds a way just to cling on to a deal that we might have lost. So he's definitely one to go far, I'd say.
I like Coyote.
He's
got the attitude that you need, hasn't he?
Yeah. I don't know if The Apprentice is the right show for Coyote, to be honest. But, I mean, he's a cracking guy. You know, he's a public speaker, so he's used to doing these things. Negotiating, speaking, this is his bag. My only worry is, as it goes on, you know, the business tasks that are required are maybe a bit different than just speaking to people. I don't know, is this streak of good luck going to continue, or is he actually going to turn out to be in the final five and potentially win?
What are the likes of Lord Sugar, Karen Brady and Claude Littner like?
It's intense, you know, it's very intense, I won't lie. You see, in the boardroom, that's the most intense part, because you either don't know if you won or not, or you're in the losing team, or you're out the room celebrating. But on task, when you've got Claude, you've got Karen following you round, every single decision you make, you're looking over your shoulder to gauge reaction, and it's terrifying.
She's got great facial expressions, hasn't she? Just pulling, whatever you do, she's pulling some kind of face.
Honestly, she's terrifying. I found, annoyingly, half the time when I turned around, she was either shaking her head or writing something down, so it didn't end up too well for me. But I think there's a bit of a bromance going on between Coyote and Claude, definitely.
And when you get into the boardroom then, because when you watch it on TV, I always find that you've so obviously you don't know what the other team's done because you've been doing with your own team. But when you watch it on TV, you kind of think you have an idea of who's won, and then the other team always seems to have done better. But you go in there and it just must be so nerve-wracking, because it can all ride on one decision.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't forget, so you're split into two teams, and there's something called task talking, so you can't talk about what's gone on in the day, you know, unless it's being filmed, because otherwise it doesn't really paint a good story. So we get into the boardroom. Obviously, say I'm in the PM team, it was related to the comic book task. We've got a sub team, and there's the other two teams fighting against us, and we genuinely believe that we'd won that task. We looked at our comic book with the AR, and we looked at the girls, and we were literally almost laughing to ourselves. We were like, what a joke. And then Jackie pulls off 10,000 orders, and we were gobsmacked. And at that point, we knew something had gone really wrong.
What's it like then when you get brought back into that final three?
That's a very strange experience. Your head is literally going nuts. You've got to try and think of ideas of why you're not to blame, why are they to blame, why you should stay. And I think that's probably the most intense experience of the whole show, more than the application process, more than any part of the task, being in that boardroom in the bottom three when Lord Sugar says, why should you remain in this process? That is terrifying.
He described you as the squirrel from the Wirral as well.
Yeah, I don't say
outraged.
I don't say that as a compliment or not, to be honest. But yeah, there's been a few photos in newspapers of my head on the squirrel. But you know, I've got used to that by now.
Did you see it coming?
To be honest, no. I honestly believe, I mean, I love all the candidates in there, got them all really well. But I believe there was a lot weaker candidates in there that should have gone earlier on, and they still are in the process. So I mean, I had in the back of my mind, I was there for the win. I believed I could do it. I had the business plan to support it. But unfortunately, just in that task, in the gym equipment task, I think got a bit set up a little bit. And unfortunately, it just wasn't my bag.
And if just happens that if you get the wrong task and you lose that task, then you can be the person who's out. Whereas there could be someone on the other team who had a much, much worse day than you did, but they happened to win and they're saved.
I know. I mean, look at Curran, you know, he did absolutely nothing. Literally stood around like an extra.
He's done nothing all series.
I know. But he got to stand there and watch David Haye boxing. I mean, that was the best task out of all the four episodes so far. And when they announced that, because obviously you're still in the room, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, so he gets to go and watch David Haye box while I'm in the boardroom getting fired.
He's useless, him.
Yeah.
He's the one that I've really just looked down and thought, I don't like you.
I think his CV got mixed up on the table of applicants, to be fair. I don't really know how that's happened. But yeah, I remember the first day he turned up and he had his drama school tie on. So, I mean, say no more.
I do love Lord Sugar's one-liners, scripted as they may be.
Yeah.
They are obviously well practiced. And the one where he said to Curran that he's finally going to be in a script or something similar to that, I thought was excellent.
Yeah, he's going to be in a cast or something and then be an extra as well. Oh, it's pretty. Curran hates it. He just smiles and just shakes his head, but he hates it. But I'm sorry, he's basically there just as an extra.
Overall, though, thoroughly enjoyable and worthwhile.
Absolutely brilliant process. It's allowed me to go from being full-time employed to self-employed running two businesses. I couldn't really have asked for a better outcome, really.
Brilliant stuff, Alex. Great to have you in. Genuinely, I was gutted when you got fired because I was hoping that the Wirral lad was going to go all the way. So hard luck on that. But thank you for coming in this afternoon and good luck for the future as well.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.